Warning, the following audio transmission is based on theory and is intended for entertainment purposes only. It's Doomsday and its affiliates will not be held liable for anything your dumbass does. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome everybody to It's Doomsday Podcast. Today is January 5th, 2024. Time is 12:38 and we're here at the High of Life Conference with Teresa. Teresa, how are you?
I am fabulous. Never better.
That's awesome. Yeah. So first year at High of Life.
Yes.
Beekeeping for 6 years, correct?
Yes.
And came from Kentucky.
Yes.
It's amazing to write these things down once and then boom, you remember.
You're good at this.
Now tell me about the book, Dead Bees Don't Make Honey. 10 tips for healthier, better bees.
Yes, healthy, productive bees.
Healthy, productive bees.
Yes.
I'm sorry. So the book has been written, and it's in the publishing phase. How long till people can go and pick this up off the shelves?
Well, if I don't go with a publisher, it'll be out within a couple of months.
That's awesome.
If I self-publish, it'll be very soon. And then if I go with a publisher, it could be about 6 months. But it's I've been keeping bees for 6 years, and I have, in my entire time as a beekeeper with 20 colonies, I've only ever had one colony die.
Oh, wow.
And I've never had an abscond, and I've never done a combine of two colonies that were queen right because they couldn't survive on their own. So I have almost 100% survival in 6 years of beekeeping with 20 colonies. And the book is about how I've achieved that. It's only 6 years and I have, a long time to go yet. But I practice more natural beekeeping. I am not a treatment-free or chemical-free beekeeper, but I practice a lot more methods that enable the bees to be healthy and productive. And then I've made quite a bit of honey in the last couple of years. Over 50 pounds of honey per overwintered colony, which is more than the average for Kentucky beekeepers. And I just want to share in my book what I've done and how I've done it for anybody that's interested in healthier, more productive bees.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. So a question I've been asking everybody. So in all your years of beekeeping, or maybe when you got started, what was that one mistake you made that you're still like, man, I can't believe I did that, and you're kicking yourself for it to this day?
The one mistake that I'm still, the thing that I kick myself for pretty regularly is when I set up robbing. So
I don't know what that is. You'll have to explain.
Yeah.
That.
So during a dearth, when there's little nectar for the bees to forage for, when you open a colony and you expose the honey or you're pulling honey, bees will show up that are not from that hive, and they will try and rob the colony.
Oh, okay.
And so you have to move very quickly and make sure that you close the hive quicker and that you don't dilly-dally in there, because then all the robbers will show up. So you set up robbing.
Thieving bees.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, it's a thing, yeah. And so, probably once a year I'm doing something where I set up robbing, and once robbing starts, it's just this bad thing. So I'm constantly trying to keep myself from setting up robbing. That's probably the one thing that is, I still find challenging even after 6 years of doing it.
So it's been wild. So this whole weekend, every time I sit somebody down and I talk to them, like, I'm learning something new, something I've never heard before, and I'm like, wow, this whole weekend has been so much knowledge, and it's been so mind-blowing. I'll forget half of it on the car ride home, but wow.
I was just talking to Jay. I was talking to John Benham. I mean, I learned something from everyone I talk to, and that's. I also love science, and I really love learning about the new methods that are coming out on how we can keep bees healthier, and more productive. So the reason that it's so exciting for you, it's exciting for all of us. We're constantly all learning, and you never know everything there is to know about bees, and they're just so interesting, and we never will. There's more we don't know about bees, I swear, than we do.
That's like almost that's hard for me to wrap my mind around. It's almost like when someone tells you, yeah, the universe doesn't end, it just keeps going. It's like, it's trying to wrap your mind around that concept, because I'm like, there's so much I know I don't know, and you're telling me there's stuff you guys don't know, and it's like, how much more is there?
There's so much more. I mean, and the thing about science that's fascinating too is that science evolves. So what we think today, new evidence will come along tomorrow that says that actually isn't correct, and it evolves over time as well. So that's why I love the sciences. I like understanding, where are we today? What is the best available consensus science today? But if I don't pay attention, by tomorrow or the next day or 6 months from now, it's new. So beekeeping is fascinating that way, because you're never done, and you're always learning, and you always have to stay in touch with all the new that is occurring, and from a beekeeping perspective, it's just such a fascinating hobby.
So that kind of segues me into another question that I had for you. What is that one? And I asked everybody this. What is that one thing that blew your mind so hard? You're like, oh my God, I had no idea, and it just blew your mind about the bees.
You mean about their behaviors?
About anything about the bees. Like, what is that one thing that was like, oh my God, I had no idea that was a thing, and this is the most amazing thing on the planet?
I mean, one of the things I find fascinating is how the workers, for example, I share this a lot, every worker honeybee that you see out on a flower, she's a female.
Oh, and, really? Okay.
Yeah, and the females, the workers inside the colony, they're the females. The drones are called the boys. She does the majority of the work the females do, and she moves through a sequence of jobs through her life. Oh, actually, I know what it is. Here it is. Okay, here's the thing. It just hit me. The most fascinating thing I learned about bees that I'll never forget is when that worker bee is born, the first thing she does when she's just born, she's a new being on the planet.
Okay.
She turns around and she cleans out her cell so that the queen can come and lay an egg in it. That's her first act on Earth. Her last act on Earth is she leaves the colony. She knows she's going to die. She leaves the colony. She flies away, far away, and dies by herself out somewhere else so that her sisters don't have to clean her dead body out of the hive. And the whole time that she's alive, she's doing jobs in service to the colony. And she started with that first act, and she ends with that last act. And that is the essence of bees.
Wow. That is crazy.
That's it.
That might be my new one.
that's what beekeeping is. That's what bees are.
I keep going back, my mind keeps being blown by like one simple thing. It is like the regiment, the organization, how there's a plan with like no communication. It's just, it works. And it's worked for thousands of years, so it's wild. So advice, if you had to give any piece of advice to new beekeepers, if they were just getting into this, what would be that piece of advice for new beekeepers? Because most people that are listening to the show are probably listening right now, because they're like, well, I'm thinking about getting into this. What do I need to know?
So I have in my book, I have a list of new beekeeper advice, and there's like six things in there. And it's different than traditional beekeeping recommendations. And I'm trying to think of which one is the most important.
They could go buy the book for that. I mean,
yeah, they could. Let's see, new beekeeper advice. What would I say? I know what I would say. I would say study bee biology.
Study bee biology.
Yes.
Okay.
Because of what you said, everything that the bees are doing inside the colony is all connected, right? Each act that they do is in service to the whole. And understanding how they're behaving and why they're behaving, how they're communicating through pheromones, how the queen is mating, how the workers are working together, how the drones are mating with virgin queens, all of that you need to understand that, or the better you understand that, the better your actions are going to integrate with them so that you can have healthy, productive bees. The research shows that 50% of all managed colonies in the United States last year died. 50%.
Wow.
Well, it's actually 48% to be exact. Almost 50% died. That's crazy. I mean, and so anything we can do to increase the health and productivity of our colonies is extremely important, because that's unsustainable, frankly. So understanding bee biology will help you do actions better that help your bees thrive so that you can have higher survival. And it's way more fun too. That's why my book is called Dead Bees Don't Make Honey. Healthy, 10 tips for healthy, productive bees, because it's just way more fun to keep bees when your bees are alive and healthy than dying and sick.
Right.
That's no fun.
Because even if they die and they come back to life, zombies don't make honey.
Zombies don't make honey. I think that is a truism. Dead zombie bees don't. And there's a thing called zombie bees, by the way.
Is there really?
Yeah, there's
okay,
a parasite.
Okay, tell me about the
there's
zombie bees.
There's a parasite.
Bees.
I can't remember. It's a kind of a fly that turns them into zombie bees.
So yeah. There are legit there's zombies floating around
so.
Out there.
You didn't think so, yeah. You
no.
didn't know
oh,
you knew
wow.
that.
See,
yeah,
that's,
they're called zombie
again,
bees.
Again, mind blown.
I know. Bees are cool. Bees
yeah.
are cool.
So I want to know, because you said like you're not doing things traditionally, like I guess more natural, more maybe holistic. What are you doing differently from other beekeepers?
Okay, so as an example, traditionally we were all taught to put our colonies right next to each other. So you have a hive, it's white, it's painted, it's all painted white, and it's facing one direction, the entrance, and we'd put the next one right next to it. It's called an apiary. Well, the science shows in nature, colonies almost never choose a home right next to each other. They spread themselves out. Bees know social distancing. They've always known social distancing.
Okay.
They spread themselves out far apart because they can't easily share pathogens and diseases because they're socially distant.
Well, I was thinking, more of the foraging aspect. The further they are apart, the more resources there are for themselves.
Exactly, exactly. And so in nature, they pack themselves only 2 colonies per square mile. That's 640 acres.
Oh, wow.
It's this huge distance. I think that's 640, I'm pretty sure. But it's a huge distance that they spread themselves. So the research shows, even if you're a suburban beekeeper, and you've got 2 hives, you should put them as far apart from each other on opposite corners of your suburban yard. And so that's one of the things I do, is I spread my colonies out as far as I can, and I only choose locations. I have 20 hives, and I have 4 locations, and the closest 2 colonies that I have are 150 feet apart. I won't put bees somewhere if I can't spread them out. Now, you can't do that if you're like Kent Williams, who's got
1,200 hives.
Yes, 1,200 hives. Or even if you have 100, you're really going to struggle to spread them out. But if you're, like you said, most of your backyard beekeepers listening to your podcast, don't put your hives right next to each other. We were all taught that. That is old science. Spread them out. That's one example of natural beekeeping. You're taking advantage of what we know about how bees keep themselves healthy, and we're applying it with new ideas on how to keep our own managed bees healthy. Spread your colonies out. There's a bunch like that. Insulate in the winter is another one. I could go on and on, but there's a bunch.
So what's different about insulating in the winter?
Well, so most of us beekeepers, I'm from Kentucky, Tennessee. There's a lot of folks at Hive Life from Tennessee. We are taught that you don't need to insulate in Kentucky. Insulate the outside of the hive in winter. Well, it turns out in nature, bees live in a tree cavity. 60 million years they evolved to live in a tree cavity where the walls of the tree are like 4 inches to 16 inches thick. And there's infinite insulation above and below the tree cavity because it's a tree,
right?
Well, we stick them in a 3/4 inch hive and we expect them to cluster all winter long to keep themselves warm, which they can live, but that's not how they evolved, and they come out more cold stressed versus how they evolved to live in a tree cavity where they would move around, they're not cold, they're not clustered. And so insulating is a way to increase the health and the likelihood that your bees are gonna survive winter.
Now, I'm kind of curious, like on that note, has anybody experimented with making hives out of like thicker material? You know, building it out of like, you know, 3.5 inch thick wood or anything of the sort. And if they did, do they have better results? Anything like that?
Yes. So there are vendors. In fact, there's some in Hive Life right now. Hive IQ is one of them, where they're making styrofoam, 2 inch thick styrofoam colonies. So yes. And another one is there's different hive styles called like long langs that you don't move and you don't lift, and you can make them with thicker wood. So the answer is yes, there's other ways to do it. I inherited a lot of equipment, and so I have a lot of Langstroth regular standard equipment. And so the solution for me, because they're 3/4 inch pine, is to insulate in the winter. And I insulate the heck out of it.
Okay.
I mean, it's like there's an inch and a half on the sides, there's 3 inches on the top, blah, blah, blah. I insulate the crap out of them. Because I want them to come out ready to work dandelions. I want them not cold stressed. I want them alive. They have to be alive to make honey. They have to be alive.
So
it's just basic math.
I want to get your opinion on this, though, because if you're going, you know, natural and you're going back with how these bees evolved and stuff like that, what do you think of people doing the mason jar hives? Have you seen these online?
Yes. So they're making, if I understand, they're making comb up inside the mason jars.
Yes.
Yes. Most of the time, what I think they're doing is they're making comb honey out of that. So they're using that to create what's called comb honey. They take the jars off, I think, and they use that and they sell it, is what they're doing. I don't remove the comb from my bees ever, because it is energetically expensive for bees to draw comb. And so it takes 6 to 8 pounds of consumed honey or nectar, consumed honey or syrup for them to draw 1 pound of that wax that's in the comb. And so I never take it away from them. So I don't necessarily have an opinion. That's the science behind that. So when you do take the comb away, you are taking a very expensive resource away from the bees, is what I would offer there.
Okay, I can get on board with that. I can understand, because I was under the impression when honey was being made, they're taking the comb and everything out of there.
Mm-mm.
And then the bees are having to go back and start all over again.
No, most, I don't know, probably some very high percentage, we're not taking the comb. We're uncapping, taking a little layer of the comb capping off. Mm-hmm. But that comb is like this thick, you know, it's long in there, and all of that is staying. And then the bees just fill it again. So unless you're making comb honey that has the comb in it, you're not taking the comb. Extracted honey leaves the comb behind, what we usually see in the grocery stores. It doesn't include the comb.
Okay.
We leave that for the bees.
Gotcha. Okay, because I've eaten the comb before.
Yes.
And I know there are places that do sell it. And a lot of the time you see it in the jar. And I've had different variations of this. Overseas, I've had comb that is just fantastically amazing, like it literally melts in your mouth. And then I've had comb here in the States where you're chewing on it forever. It is this hard, waxy thing, and it's like, man, why am I even working on it? You chewed the flavor out of it, and you're still in there chewing on it, but then again, overseas in different places, it just melts in your mouth. It's wild.
I don't know why the difference is. I know newer comb is softer, and older comb develops more of that chewiness, but I'm not really very expert on comb honey.
It is an interesting thing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something I'm going to have to look at more into.
Right.
So, what? You're going to be back next year, I'm assuming, right?
Sure.
Because this is a big thing,
yes.
And I've been sitting here, and the bee community is a very tight knit community. It seems like. What do you think the draw is for most people to be into this community? Because some people say that this is therapeutic for them. Other people were like, well, I started it for the honey. Other people are like, well, we had to do something at the farm because we needed this. What do you think the biggest draw is to suck people in?
I I don't think there's one. I mean, okay. I think it's what you just said. Is all of us come to beekeeping for different reasons, with different philosophies. And what I think draws people to things like hive life is we love sharing how we do it, and there's so many different ways to keep bees. My way of keeping bees is not going to be anybody else's way. My book, I say this in my book, you know, I say it probably too many times, is I'm not telling you how to keep bees. I'm just telling you this is how I did it. I'm hoping something of this is of value to you that you can incorporate into your beekeeping. And I think that's why, you know, I've heard that about beekeeping. We share a lot. We, at my bee club, like, we're constantly like, hey, I got this. Do you need it? You know, and, you know, can I come and get in your hives with you so I can learn what you do? I can tell you, that's one thing I would offer to new beekeepers. Get in as many other people's hives as you can. Because every single time I get into a hive with somebody else, I learn something new. There's some little trick or some little mechanism or method that they used that I can incorporate into my beekeeping to make me a better beekeeper. That's what it's all about. And beekeepers are... Oh, and the other thing about beekeeping that I think is just rock solid cool is it's kind of got this like cool factor to it because A, it's kind of dangerous, you know, the bees sting. Oh, and it's hard as heck. I mean, you're hot, you know, you're lifting these heavy boxes. You got to think, you got to understand biology, you got to understand physics, you got to understand like, you know, integrated pest management. It's got it all. I mean, beekeeping is just so much fun. And beekeepers are just pretty cool people.
I've met so many beekeepers in the last 2 days here, and it's like everybody's been super nice, super welcoming of me being here because they know this isn't my forte. And they know I'm here just to like drill everybody with questions, and everybody's been super accommodating to me. So I've been extremely happy to meet everybody this whole entire time. And it was interesting. I was like, I guess the reason I was asking about the motivation is because, again, you know, the bees have the honey forever shelf life, right? So as a survivalist, I'm like, man, I should get into bees. And then I met Jay, and I'm like, I shouldn't get into bees. Not that he turned me off to it because of him, but because, like, he starts explaining to me all this work and all these things you have to do, and I'm like... This is way too overwhelming. Can I start with one bee and then go from there? It's
you
like,
can.
No, no, no.
No, I mean, it is kind of, you're either, and that's a good thing for new beekeepers. You're either all in, or you probably maybe shouldn't. You should pick something else.
Right, like one gentleman I sat down, he said a good piece of advice is to have, you know, somewhere between one and five hives. You don't start with one, but your one needs to be your sacrificial one because you're going to make mistakes. So let that be like your cadaver hive to where you're learning and you're discovering and you're trying different things, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. And if the hive makes it, awesome. If not, you have made the mistakes. And you've got your other hives because he said you can't start with just one.
Right. You need to start with two. And then I would say again, well, I would say this. Beekeeping is not like guitar. I mean, did we all?
I've attempted every instrument out there.
All right,
I got good at none of them.
I know this thing. So it's not like guitar where, you know, we've all tried.
I got one sitting at home right now. I just wiped the dust off it.
Exactly.
That's about as much as I play.
That's the difference between guitar and beekeeping.
Right.
In guitar, when you find out you're not Eddie Van Halen or Joe Satriani or whoever's your dude, or I don't know, are there any girls that are great guitarists? Did I just say a wrong thing there?
I don't know.
All right. If you turn out you're not Eddie Van Halen in 2 weeks, you can just take the guitar and stick it in the corner. That's usually what happens. And eventually it gets dusty and then you stick it in the closet and it's no harm, no foul. Maybe it ends up in the garage sale, right? Or your mom sells it from you if you're a kid.
Right.
Bees are not like that. Because they die. I mean, you're literally, so they're bugs. But you're the steward of the bee. You're the steward of these creatures that are on the planet trying to live. And it's not trivial when they die. It's an important thing. It's not like the guitar that just got dusty. They literally died. So I just think it's important to take it seriously. If you're going to do bees, do the work to make sure that you're not, that you're really and truly doing the work you need to care for them so they don't just die a lot.
Okay. That makes sense. I can totally understand.
That's so my philosophy.
I got something I want you to do.
Yes.
I've had everybody do this that sat down with me.
I'm happy to.
Okay, so I have here Spartan bee bread. It's actual bee bread.
All right.
And I started taking this stuff almost a month ago now, and I've fallen kind of in love with it. Not necessarily the taste, but I want the honest beekeeper's opinions taste.
Okay, all right.
And I've gotten everybody to try it so far.
I will try practically anything once, practically. So
I started taking this stuff because I'm on a very unique diet. And I don't get all the minerals and everything that I would need. So this was kind of that fill in the blank for me.
Okay. Well, first off, I've eaten pollen before.
Okay.
I think most beekeepers have eaten everything out of the hive so far. But. So what I would say is it tastes like pollen.
Right.
I mean, what's the question? Is it good?
Do you like it? It's from a beekeeper standpoint, for a commercialized product, just honest opinion, flavor, consistency.
I do. I do like it.
You like it?
Yeah, and it has a little bit, can I see the ingredients?
Yeah, go here, go for it.
What's it got in it? Let's see. Ingredients, bee bread, black currant. I felt like there was something fruity in it. Sea buckthorn, apples and cinnamon. It's good. It's good.
That's awesome.
I thought there was honey in it. That's what I was.
But no, so it apparently
it
it's
must
made,
have black the black currant maybe.
So I guess they make it right from the bee bread, and then they I guess I don't know if the bees ferment it or they ferment it, but it's just fermented bee bread.
I imagine the bees do it. It's probably, I mean, there are so many products from the hive.
Mm-hmm.
Propolis is a product. You can make tinctures out of it, bee bread. There's a lot beyond just extracted honey.
So I started taking this about after a week and a half. I developed like this kind of boundless energy, like not caffeine shaky energy, but like couldn't sit still type energy. That leveled off in about 2 weeks, and then extreme mental clarity. I'm forming sentences better. I'm not tripping over words. I'm able to form a sentence that makes sense quicker and faster. And I think it was because there was things I was lacking in my diet, and this just makes up for it. So you have people out there that are like praising this product. And I'm like, we'll try it. For someone like me that doesn't eat, like I don't eat fast food. I don't eat things that are bad, that I know are bad for me, right? But my diet's very limited because of that, because of the society we live in. So this really filled in all the blanks for me. So it was really awesome to come here and like watch all the beekeepers try the bee bread.
It's wonderful. Now I got to ask you, what are the people saying? The beekeepers, are they liking it or not liking it?
The best. So everybody seems to enjoy it. The best response I think I've gotten so far is one of the guys took a bite of it. He starts chewing up. He's like, "Wow, this tastes like a day of work. Like I worked with the bees all day." And I'm like, "Wow, that's so cool." That was the coolest response I've gotten so far.
That is good. It tastes like pollen is what it tastes like.
Yeah.
I think most beekeepers have probably tried pollen.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you think?
I would think. Well, it's a superfood, so a lot of people have probably tried it.
Yeah.
So I know my wife, she will occasionally, you know, she's feeling under the weather, this, that, the other. She'll go to the store and she'll buy it and she'll break it out. And then I know some people cook with it. So I think more people have probably consumed it, not realizing it, you know, because it is out there. You can go buy it right off the shelf. You could buy it in like, R1 store sells it in a jar in the seasoning section. You can go and you just buy a jar of bee pollen, right? So so are you out there on any social media? Like, how can people find you to find the book when it comes out and things like that?
That's a great question. I do have a YouTube channel. It's called Be Healthy.
Be Healthy?
Be Healthy.
Okay.
Of course.
Easy enough.
Be Healthy, and right. I will put my book out there when it's available.
Okay, so that's awesome. So, guys, you can find Teresa, say your last name for us.
Martin.
Teresa Martin on YouTube at Be Healthy.
Be Healthy.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank
I greatly
enjoyed
appreciate it.
It was super fun.
This is an emergency action message. At approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, NORA is tracking 15 ICBM nuclear missiles inbound to the following cities: Orlando, Miami, Pittsburgh, Dover, Newark, Richland, Philadelphia, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Boston, Seattle, Detroit. This is an extremely deadly situation. Stay tuned, the next emergency message will be a presidential address.